More or Nothing.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of More or Nothing with Ryan and Max. Bit belated this week, but we are here. And I really want to get into just how much fun you must have had after Friday night, Max, with that absolute hammering.
Not straight into the meat of this potatoes, are we? We're talking about the resurgence of the Mighty Bears.
No hanging about here. Apologies for being late. It's actually my fault for the first
lads, you know what? Because Ryan got into me last weekend for being a degenerate alcoholic face, I decided not to go out. Sadly. But
No, that's not okay. that's not the thing I want you to have. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what you've done. Yeah.
No, because listen, you boys are on a resurgence and it's all because you've been going out on the beers together. You've been away to
prime. My solipsistic experience of
Look where you're going now. And it's all thanks to going out on the piss together. So do not change what you're doing. Do not change it, Max. For fuck's sake.
What have we done? I'll have to find a midweek bender out of this somewhere.
Hello, I'm on the beers now.
My God. But yeah, but lads, I was pleasantly surprised. I was like, what is happening right now? It turned into a bit of a feeding frenzy. Great evening's work. Boys on fire. People who played well. I thought Daddy played well. I thought Carstens had a strong game.
Oh, who's Daddy again?
Daddy.
Oh, right. Okay. I'll just check you weren't talking about yourself there. I thought maybe you were referring to yourself as Dad.
No. I have heard pretty badly. I got you for about 20 odd minutes. Yeah, it was a tough game. Fitz Harding, James Dunn. Man, it was a strong game from the pack in general. I thought Stephen Latour played very well. So, mate. Class game.
I could actually see you referring to yourself as Daddy Max, like going around. Yeah, I could see it. Oh, Daddy's very hungry today.
You can't do it in that voice, Ryan. You've ruined it. It's horrible. Horrible. No one wants that.
I don't know how Carl Singler got the name Daddy, but it is funny.
You haven't got a clue why? How?
No, I need to find out, actually. I'm going to find out.
Max, what are you putting it down to? How have you boys turned this around? Do you put it down to, because this is what I look at it, right? You put it down to, who is your England or Six Nations contingent? It is Loney, pretty much.
Ellis Genge.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Rand's got a little showing, but not really. He was involved in some of the camps. But
so you kept the majority of the team, and you had a bit of a pre-season. You had to knock
We've been a bit of a beast.
Surely there's something in that. There's a resurgent. You've got an opportunity now to push for the top four over the next five games.
I know, it's naughty, isn't it? Anything can happen in the great minds of the nation. But you're right. I think it's down to, obviously, a massive change in how we play. Like, we sort of started off the season with a very much a kick-focused game of territory, as was the fashion, because of the mighty South Africans winning the World Cup off the back of that success. So, I think a few teams tried to copy and paste, but it's more difficult. Right? You don't really have the collection of freakish specimens as South Africa did. So we couldn't just win game like that. So we went back to the old way, the way of the bear, just effervescent rugby all over the park, play what's on. And that sort of lit the boys back up. And I think that's what guys here are sort of more in tune with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you got your 5 points off of fourth. I'm just looking at the table here. You're 5 points off of fourth. You've got Quinns above you who, let's face it, got absolutely trounced on the weekend. We'll get on to it, I'm sure, won't we, Mark? But who have you got? Oh, hold on a minute. You've got Gloucester next week, haven't you?
They are also on the resurgence.
Yes.
No.
There's no chance they can make it,
but I think they're on a sort of path of retribution, aren't they, seeing as they started so poorly in the Prem, so now they're back. So it should be very tasty.
So Big Pat's happy.
I mean, for now, we'll see how. The
for,
long
now. For now.
Yeah. But what about you, Rye? We'll get on to the other games and stuff. How's your week been?
It was a busy weekend. Cardiff, Glasgow Friday, commentated on that one at Glasgow. 13-0 behind, they scraped that. And then I was over in Dublin again, boys. I don't... there's a toss-up here, right? I do like going to the studio in Dublin because you go over there and you obviously have to come... It was Ulster Sharks and Stormers Edinburgh. So you did a doubleheader, back-to-back games. You sit in the studio, me, Andrew Trimble, and Big Bob Skinstad, right? So you sit there in the studio and it's quite nice. You just, you know, get your feet up. You watch the game in there, and you can they bring in a takeaway. You can pick
it, delightful.
Tie up.
So you like curry, was it? Jasmine rice.
Well, it was. We went for a Japanese this time.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, very nice. Some sushi. Ooh. So it is quite nice that, but you don't get the atmosphere. You don't get, and you know what I'm like? Fuck ADHD.
Yeah,
you're a man. I'm a nut.
Yeah,
I need to be moving and doing weird stuff. So sat behind a desk like a news reporter. Like Mark at the BBC, it just doesn't sit right. Yeah, and I get a little bit twitchy, and people that I've not really met before. There's the new presenter guy, and I'm just like, oh god, and I can't help myself. And there's a lot of silence in there between because people go to their notes and they're like, right, what's next? And they start, and I'm like,
I thought you guys would all be having like a great time. All that banter is just manufactured for the camera, isn't it? It's so sad.
There is a bit, but a lot of people take it very seriously.
Yeah,
you know, like, I know it is it's a job, but I just don't like the bit in the between. It's like, right, where are we going next? And I'm just there messing about, you know.
Ryan, you're the new mate. I keep saying this to you. You're the new breed. What people actually want to watch isn't people being really serious about that, like, genuinely. And we found this across loads of different. Sports and stuff is people want, you know, look at what, even in football, look what's more popular now is the sort of the banter between, that's what gets all of the clicks, that's what gets people and the younger crowds interested. Yeah, and you're prime for that, mate.
You got
less of the serious, more of the, yeah, find the connection.
A lot of people are so obsessed with like the stats, they're looking at this, they're like, oh, it's, they kick more, and I'm like, listen, you need those bits, you need a stat man fish that we've got, but you don't need to just hammer it all the time. That's what you can't live off. So anyway, it was nice. And I got a couple of pints of the black stuff, which is always makes the trip over to Dublin lovely. Even in the airport, Max, there's something, like you said, in that when we got in trouble doing it.
When we destroy brand IP.
When you said that they saved the good stuff for Dublin.
Yeah, there's something different with the stuff in the Emerald Isle. I know they do.
Yeah, it's true. Even at the airport, I'm like, oh, that is fucking delicious.
That is silky smooth. It's doming perfectly.
Yeah, good domage, good
stickage. Yeah, the domage is stickage and darkness.
It was nice. And then I was back at home, sadly, at a funeral, Bex's grandpa, who was a bishop of Guildford, but also went to watch my nephew back where it all started at Farnham Rugby Club. So he's now playing for Farnham Rugby Club, so I went down and watched him. So a little blast from the past, it was nice. Saw Joe Max under-18s Ireland shirt up on the wall, Max.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, tried knocking Johnny Wilkinson's off. And just...
Bro, on Saturday, I had to go to... So I went to Sam Leslie Miller's, very good friend of Joe's, obviously. Last game for Chiswick RFC. Oh, mate. Sad times. End of an era down at Chiswick RFC. But just very rugby related. It was good.
No trips to Roslyn Park this week? There's a lot going around on the Roslyn Park Sevens. It's huge, isn't it? No little trips down there?
No, I didn't get down there.
You'll have been involved in that at some point, surely.
What, the actual back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Way back in the day. On the bench, this man never touched a sevens ball as a starter. Yeah, all good.
It was such a big deal. I remember it at school.
Yeah, it was huge.
Whilst we're looking at stuff from social media, what about that clip of Bundiaki hacking up the big man's lawn? Did you see that?
No,
you don't go on social media enough, Max. You don't go on your phone enough because
I don't
have a go at him.
But there's a clip, and all the Ireland boys are at Peter O'Mahony's house, the gardener, Greenfingers.
No,
and Bundiaki has got his golf club and he's swinging it on the lawn, and the boys are going, "Go on, take a divot," because you need to obviously. Another thing I'm doing at the moment, boys, I'm becoming a pro at golf. That's my next thing. You can see my golf clubs in the background, actually. And I've got a very important... I'm digressing here, but I've got a very important meeting in a few weeks, Max, right? And the meeting, the bloke said, why don't we play golf? And I was like, oh, shit. Because I'm, you know, I'm all right at golf. I can hit a ball, but it's very random where the ball goes. So yeah. I'm trying to get better at golf. Spending a lot of time on the course at the moment. That's my new hobby. But going back to this, the boys are going, take a divot. And he's like swinging the club, catching the grass, catching the blades. And then he has taken like a crater. He's created a crater in his lawn. And they like pan round. Peter Armani, Green Fingers, is just there seething. To be fair, he's laughing. He reposted it on Instagram. But yeah, brave man, Bundy Aki, taking a chunk out of the big man's lawn. Far out. That's like his baby, eh? Imagine. That's like hitting someone's child with
a rising perfect carpet of greatness.
I'm so sure, by the way, when like Peter Armani retires or whatever, that you'll bump into him, and then it'll turn out you're basically like bizarrely kindred spirits who fucking hate each other, and then we'll just be like best mates.
Well, I'm confident in it. Talking to people that don't like me that much, although we've made up. Faz's 250th game at the weekend as well.
Just on that side note, did you see what I sent where last year, according to ruck.co.uk, you were his second most despised player? It was Dave Attwood. And then somehow, despite the fact you haven't come across Faz all year, fast forward to March 23rd, you're back up to first above David Attwood.
Is that a speculative article?
I think it is. It was right underneath the TMO one, and so it just all I did was finish the article, and the next thing I see is Wills's face, and I'm like, what's he got to do with the TMO? And it's actually just scrolled into Faz's people.
Which rugby players do you hate the most? Well, the list is long. Dave Attwood. Ryan Wilson. I wonder who would go.
That's not true. Me and Faz,
you guys are buddies now. No, that's fine. That is fine. But speaking of Faz, fellas, there was quite a big moment in that game against Harlequins. We mentioned what a performance Saracens put on, but a real... it's a strange one. It's like every week there's something like we just haven't seen before that you're almost surprised you haven't. There's a Austin TMO oversight and then a subsequent apology. So for those who didn't hear what happened, there was a hit off the ball from the Harlequins captain on Owen Farrell. It isn't referred, but the TMO hears it either through in the booth where they're at, because they're at the London State, the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, overhears the actual commentary of Austin Healy saying, problem I've got now is that it looks like Austin has instigated it because we're late, so I don't want to talk about it, okay? Because Austin Healy had said, hey, that's a late tackle, they need to refer it. Does it matter?
First of all, Twitter wins again, or X wins again, because the comments from people saying, well, no one fucking listens to Austin Healy. And I've just somehow spun it round on Austin Healy and just like, who cares what he says anyway? And they've just absolutely gone to town, like down the Twitter. But, I suppose the first question is, in the truck, do they listen to the commentary? Because
They weren't in the truck, mate. This one, I think they were in the same. I mean, I'm happy to be corrected on this, but I think the fact, because it's not the same setup at every stadium, right? So whereas it's, you know, that kind of in the Premier League, they're out at Stockley Park near at the IMG thing, and they're just there and they're away from all the action. Here, a lot of the time they're at the games. You can't help but hear the commentary because you're not in a isolation booth. You're potentially in a room next door. You're potentially even within hearing distance. So I think that's the issue, is that you can hear the commentary. I don't think they were listening, perhaps. First things first, should the TMOs ever be listening to the commentary?
Well, I'd like, because I've got a bit of a theory on this. I'd like to hear Max's thoughts before I go in on it.
No.
Is that it? That's all you're giving us?
Really deep. That's what the punters pay for.
What more do you want? Like, it just opens the territory up for too much like subliminal influence. It's just a dangerous precedent to set. It should be just done by the TMO, done by the ref, and that's it. And it should
I'm
be
completely
done
with you. So we both completely agree on that.
Yes, but now you've got a scenario where it saved a match or something.
Well, no, because I'm always hesitant when I commentate. There's a button that you press. You can go back to the producer. So say you see something in the game that you're like, oh, did you see that hit? Or I want to talk about that. You go back to the producer and go, can you replay that shot from Owen Farrell on so-and-so? Or can you replay that bit, which I think might have been, you know, there was a late shot. So you can actually, as a commentator, ask for replays. When I'm commentating on Glasgow, for example, right? Let's say Glasgow are playing Edinburgh. I obviously will never ask. Say I've seen something which I'm like, oh, that was on the line. I would never ask for them to replay it because then it gets put on the TV, it gets replayed, and there's an opportunity for the TMO to then re-see it. But
yeah.
I purposefully don't want anything like that replayed for Glasgow, whereas you can have a bearing effect on, if there's someone that you don't want, you could actually go, oh, I think there might have been a late shot there by so-and-so. Should we go back and have a look at it? And you can try and...
That's wild. You see what I mean? That's the problem. Yeah, I agree. They should be completely blind, deaf and dumb.
But you say that, but there was a really interesting article from Rob Debney. You know, you remember the ex-referee? But he was given an instance of being TMOing a game in South Africa where he was in a box next to the South African coaching team. And whenever he gave a decision against them, they bang on the windows going crazy at him.
Hey, boy, change the fucking decision, Oki, now.
And he's like, that's obviously not ideal. But hey, you know...
Mr. F.
And it's true because they, like a lot of the time, and then they'll show, you know, if it goes up on the big screen, how much of an influence do the crowd have on it? How much, you know, if you put something up on the big screen and then the fans see it and they start booing, I feel like it does. It almost influenced the referee sometimes. So you've got to be careful with stuff like that. But I agree. I don't think the TMO should. But I think the big issue here is that the RFU statement that's come out, they've just basically lied in what they've said. They've said that RFU released a statement saying that the TMO was not influenced by the decision, but they've just come out and he's clearly said, I'm yes. going back to look at that because I've heard what Austin said. So he has influenced it. So you're like, well, hold on a minute. That's
no, but no, but he said he wasn't influenced by it, so therefore he's not influenced by it. That's how this works.
Another complete shit show. In
yeah, no, yeah, that does sound. It sounds like a pickle. That yeah.
Well, talk about that game though, boys. They have been absolutely blown.
Yeah, I think Harris might.
Man, they always have one of those games where they just get their ass handed to them, though, don't they?
Yeah, Quins are funny because they're obviously they were right at the top of the table, doing really well, playing very well. Statistically, they're doing very well in set piece, etc. But then Saracens is just, as we said before, everyone was like worried about Saracens in Europe. They were struggling, etc. It just took some time. And next minute, you got a game like that. Absolute freak show, highlight reel. Everyone was up, like Theo Dan. Incredible game. Theo McFarland, what was he up to? He had his Weedapix that morning. My God.
The way he carries, he's just a wrecking ball. He looks
he's
so
got wheels as well, hasn't he? I mean, he doesn't look... once he gets going, you're like, ooh.
And what about our friend of the show, Scux Deluxe?
Mate, that's Ken.
Still got it.
The big fella.
Fuck you. Still flying.
Wills, would you get him in and around this? You know, I mean, he's doing that on those big occasions, you know, packed out London Stadium, all that stuff. Would you be getting him in around back? You know, he's not retired internationally. Would you get him, you know, is he a good influence around the squad? Is he the kind of person you'd want maybe around the Scotland squad?
Yeah, definitely the sort of person I'd have in there. But I'm biased, aren't I? Because he's one of my mates. He is a good bloke to have around. And he's like anyone that's been at Saracens that long. Over what they've won throughout the years.
You're doing all right. You're doing all right at rugby. Yeah, you're pretty good.
Trying to involve him and try and, you know, pick his brains and have his wisdom about that. There's some great wingers in the world, and Sean, he's one of them. He's flying. How good does that like that stadium and those.
It looked unreal, didn't it?
What do they call that weekend? It's like, do they do them at
the double header, the big game,
the big one,
the big game.
They could probably think of another.
Yeah, I was like, well, it must be. Oh no, it's just the big game.
But how cool is Spurs Stadium? Like, we've spoken about it when I went down there recently with the go-kart track underneath, but
it seems quite steep. More of that in rugby.
It is steep, man.
Yeah, it looks really steep. It looks like walls either side of it. It looks class. But yeah, oh, mate.
Taking the wife to see Pink there in June. So I'm getting all experiences.
For you. You're like, I'm taking my wife along because I want to see Pink.
Indian Gonzalez, those two. Elliot Daly.
I'm more like, Quinn's just weren't at the races. They just completely capitulated. And it doesn't get easier for them because they got Bath coming this week to the Stoop. And then they go into the European, like Glasgow will be looking at that game because then it's the last 16 of Europe the week after that, down at the Stoop. But they've got Bath then into the last 16 of Europe. So I don't know. Could Quinns, I think, I can't remember. Were Quinns the team that I said could go on and do a pretty good job? But Maxi boy, if you boys can get the job done against Gloucester this weekend.
We're straight into the mixer.
Quinns have got a tough old game against Bath. Some of these boys that are at the top, like even Northampton, we'll get onto that. But you just look and think there could be a big change. It's pretty tight in the Premiership. And I think Harlequins could struggle towards the end of the season.
Yeah. But isn't it funny though, Max, with the narrative of, and you just mentioned it, of, and you look at the table and you guys have, you know, yes, you're below Quinns by 2 points, but actually, you know, they've won and lost the same amount. You've got a better points difference to them. And yet the story has, as you said, they were doing so well. So it's been very positive. You guys hasn't been as positive apart from that the very, very start of the season, the first few games. It's always been like you guys are struggling a bit to find your way. But actually, then you look at where you guys are at and you'd rather be doing that curve, right? Rather than sort of there and potentially coming down. So,
well, I think with this break, it changes a lot of things, doesn't it? Like 6 weeks is a long time. So like momentum week to week sort of disappears now. So it's sort of a season within a season. So like form books can be ripped up, etc. It depends how people have spent their time in those 6 weeks. So it kind of adds an interesting like mechanism to how the season's going to play out.
And speaking of form books, let's go to there was as we say resurgence of Gloucester, who with a phenomenal result at the weekend away. Yeah. Did anyone see that coming?
That's big. Yeah, I guess people did though. Just given off the back of that, maybe not, but like
really,
yeah. But that Prem final,
I don't think anyone expected Gloucester to go there. 16 years or something, was it?
I feel like that new coaching staff's a little bit under pressure as well now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well.
They're going to get cracked. Like, you could just see like Leicester fans losing their minds over it a little bit now because it's sort of the same squad, same caliber of players. Like, they've got a very good roster, pretty good depth all around the field. Like, I could just see it getting like Welford Road's not a patient place, so it could get weird now.
But especially after that result, it could get weird. But Zach Mercer just tearing up trees again. Is he leaving Gloucester? Do we know if he's leaving Gloucester?
The reason I say it's not unsurprising was just because of those last three games, like in the Prem Rugby, like they've been playing very well. Zach Mercer has been a big part of that, but then they got Ackerman back, like. There was a big injury list at Gloucester for a while, and now I think they're getting some really influential guys back. So I think that's just changing their fortunes, so to speak.
Well, apparently he's on the just talking Zach Mercer, Ryan. He's on the it's his own coach. Saying you know he's right on the cusp on the fence of getting back into the England squad for the summer series. I don't know. But how much do you, as players, how much do you take on when your own coach is like, oh, he's brilliant, he is?
Well, no, because like a lot of the time, I think coaches, like if they got the ear of the England coach, would be like, oh, yeah, this guy wants to go. Can you give him a little
Otherwise, he's leaving our club.
Yeah, otherwise he's leaving. So can you give him a shout and let him know he's on your thoughts, even if he ain't? Because I need to keep him around for a bit longer, etc., etc. Yeah.
Do we think? Come on.
Oh, 100%. I reckon that happens. Yeah, why wouldn't it? That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like, of course they would do that. Like, why would you? Like, it just makes sense. Used to play together. I reckon Borfers and Skivs go way back, you know, just get his ear. Hey, Steve, could you give Zach a shout? Little bum tap for me.
Because without him, they're a different team, aren't they? They're,
100%.
I know they've not done that well this season, but they don't get anywhere near the sort of go-for like, they do with the way he breaks tackles.
Mate, Zach Mercer, have you seen? I think statistically he's got some kind of metronomic carry count this season, even with his injuries. It's hilarious. But yeah, he literally has a license to do what he wants for Gloucester. Sits in the backfield, comes at the front line, he's on the edge, he's at first receiver. So, like, the stuff he does is funny. Even when he's, like, from the standing start, you see how he carries off that three-man carry. He does that, like, jinx step with the dummy. And it just, it works every time. It gives him one-on-ones, little, and then his wrist. Look at the flick of the wrist. Like,
flick of the wrist.
Yeah, but Max, you played with him, right?
Yeah, you knew he was going to be special.
Yeah, but can you explain this to me? And obviously, I'm not one to talk at all
with my little
Chinese body shape. But yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
How is that possible? You look at photos of them and I'm like, they look like little sort of T-Rex arms and then...
That's what I used to call him.
Did you?
Yeah, no, I was like, he is the T-Rex. Because physically, you're right. He looks slightly strange. He's got a very, very unique body shape, kind of terrible upper body, but his lower body is legit. Like he's an athlete. Like he gets under like a $2 in the gym. Decent back squat. And this was when he was a lot younger. So who knows what he's up to now after a few quasis. But mate, unbelievable player in terms of like movement. So athleticism isn't always synonymous with just being a massive brand. Hello, how are you? I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's like a lot of other facets that go into being a great athlete on the field of the great game of tip and tap. And Zach Mercer sort of personifies that in terms of just his cerebral brilliance as a mover and a sort of skilled player.
Yeah, that's where I sat. Sort of.
Yeah. Brian, I think... Yeah,
but like, shit upper body.
I got
my mum's shoulders and my mum's arms.
Yeah, there's a spectrum of like shit athletes that are really good at rugby. So like shit athletes who are really good at rugby. This is how I look at it. And there's like good athletes who are really shit at rugby. So I'd be more in that way, Mark. I'd be that way. Whereas me and Ryan are sort of the antithesis of each other. But anyway, Ryan's like the battler, like an absolute pirate, like a marauder, just horrible dog leather man. And he just sticks around. He's around for 80 minutes of horridness, whereas Zach Mercer's just like world-class, like freak talent, like egg whispering. Whereas Ryan Wilson's like, Ryan Wilson's like horrible, horrible pirate.
Pirate versus the egg whisperer.
I'm here to take your ship.
That bloke just keeps getting shot.
And he just comes back. Yeah. Even ghost stories, Miss Turner, because you're in one.
Wait, okay, just quickly, because we've got a few more bits to get onto. Yeah. Stick him in a back row with Bernal. Does it work? Because that's what you'd expect. I would put Bernal at seven
if you would,
and have Matt Mercer at eight and then get like a charm to come south or something like that for a big burly ball carrier.
Oh, shit. How do you split the carries? But yeah, I like where your head's at. I think that would be cool. That would be a very, very interesting back row. But yeah, that's what would happen. You'd have Ben at seven and Zach at eight.
Because the line-out option as well, so it's interesting, isn't it? We'll see what happens in the summer. Whether Skivington is lying just to keep him at Gloucester.
Yeah, boys, quick word also now with Finn... I haven't seen how often have you seen a left-footed drop goal from Finn, right?
It's his first ever drop goal. It's his first ever drop goal, and he used his left foot.
He did it against George Ford on purpose. He was like, hey, watch this, hold my beer, baby.
Yeah, I just did it with his left foot.
Oh, that's so swaggy. That's him.
He's disgusting. I hate
him. There's a bit of chat around that game whilst we're on the Bath stuff and Bath sale. Probably forward passes. A lot of people are kicking off saying there was like some dodgy refereeing and TMOing going on in that game. But Bath are going strength to strength. Sale don't quite look like they're up to it, do they? I don't know how they'll go.
But
Bath are getting stronger, whereas Northampton, on the other hand, blimey.
I reckon that's a blip.
Is that a blip? Yeah. Well, it's just one result, right? They were flying. So
did you see Ollie Slighthome's try? That guy's an issue. He's a real problem. Mate, he's run at AJ. He's had him. Then he's gone to James Williams, stuck his fend out, and he's hanging on that. And then he's ran into BV whilst hanging on to James Williams and managed to slide over the line. Slighthome by name, it's not slight by nature, old boy. My God.
Interesting. I always, because you remember Jonah Lomu coming out, it was like the most incredible thing. And actually, I think it was at the time even Jonah Lomu rugby came out. And then it was like England's answer to that was John Slighthome. It was his dad who was like the answer.
Oh, genuine.
Yeah, it was like we need like a massive guy on the wing. And I think his dad was pretty big at the time for comparatively. So that was the answer. But it's funny, as soon as I watched that, I was like, oh, looks like it's the son who's got the real. It felt like a Jonah Lomu, people hanging off him, just bumping and somehow just ending up over the line.
Yeah, look at him back in 1997.
Yeah.
When the graphics were real bad.
That was a game.
Roundtree, Ronnie Regan, Jason Leonard. Bloody hell, yeah.
Underwood. Yeah. But anyway, that was what do you do after that, by the way? A conversation under the post, like, does everyone look at everyone and go, guys, that was pretty, you've just let a guy go through, that's pretty shit.
These things happen, you're just like, yeah, fair, just
but you blame the first person because you know what happens, man. If someone misses the tackle right at the beginning, no one else is expected to have the clean up, so then it's like, you know, like you get caught off guard, so everyone's then just scrambling. That's when you get bumped. So you get really pissed off at the first bloke that missed the tackle. That's your fault.
Yeah, especially when it gets to such a deceptive package as Slighthome.
So you blame the first and everybody else you just comfort. You're right, mate. Wasn't you.
Boys, I forgot to tell you. I got on the... I don't know why this just came to my mind, but I obviously used to sometimes get recognised as a rugby player, right? And that was it. This week, I was in Gatwick Airport, getting on a train, jumping in the on the escalator down to the train to go back to my old man's house. And I'm in London, and this lady looks around, this Fijian lady, and she just looks up the escalator and she goes, "Oh, Willie Sonny." Oh my gosh, it's really Sonny. It's her husband and her family.
No,
and I get to the bottom and I'm like, "Bula, Sayandra." And they're like, "Oh, Willie Sonny."
Oh my God.
I'm like, this is it. I'm getting recognized as Willie Sonny now. I'm so happy.
Honorary Fijian citizenship.
Oh, my quest is complete. And we're doing, I think it's August the 2nd, boys. Put it in the diary. We're doing the Bula Festival in Aldershot, where 4,000 Fijians descend for a Fijian festival. So there we have it.
Recovery, mana.
Get some of that curry in.
Right there, mana.
Can you imagine it? It's going to be special. Yeah, how funny is that? I was actually buzzing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Done it.
So good.
Too good. Right, so as things stand, though, it is tied at the top. And can we predict at this very moment, fellas, who's going to be going through as the top four teams?
I mean, Bath are definitely through. Sarries, for me, will definitely. They're two, Bath and Sarries. Whether Northampton fall off a bit, I don't know. But I don't think they will.
Chiefs are in there, though, as well.
Yeah, I know, but you're only 5 points behind them. I've got a feeling, Max, you boys are on a resurgence. I think you're going to get in there.
Oh, no, he's just thrown the Wilson predictive albatross all over your season. Oh.
I've got my hand firmly in the wood.
Done. Over. Unfortunate.
I think, Max, I think you're going to do it. I think you boys are going to find a way to claw your way in. You've got five games to do it. Starting with Gloucester this week. But I see it as Northampton, Bath, Saris, and Bristol.
Interesting. Yeah, Max?
Shout. Yeah, but let's not jinx anything, eh, man?
Yeah, but you've sort of got to back your own team, Max. Like it'd be like...
Yeah. Sports
Matt was listening to this, and you went in on next Monday, and he's like, man, listen to the podcast. Don't reckon we're going to make top four. You'd be like, oh, fuck, sorry.
Yeah.
So there we have it. That's mine. You agree with that then, Max?
I am. I'm in full agreement.
A couple of bits of just to chuck in before we just touch upon the URC as well. First things first, Brex and Cello, we made that up, didn't we? Guinness Six Nations account, they tweeted that. It's
You're
ours.
Welcome.
Well, okay. Is that how we look at it? I'm thinking.
Well, hold on. Statman Fish claims that he made Hua Pilotu. He is the
original Hua Pilotu.
So. He can. Do you know what? I'm going to give that to Statman Fish. He could put that on his Instagram, his Twitter handle as Hua Pilotu and Brex and Cello creator. So there we have it.
I claim that.
Are you annoyed, Mark?
No, because I'm always I'm always like wary. I definitely years ago at the BBC claimed that I'd come up with MSN versus BBC, which was Messi, Suarez, Neymar versus Bale, Benzema, Cristiano, and no one believed me. So. I'm like hurt when people. I'm on Fish's side here, but I know we are claiming Brex and Cello. That is ours. We have the actual evidence of that being ours. No monetary value to us doing that, but still.
Everyone listens here knows that it was us, so that's all we need to worry about.
Quick word: Danny Kerr actually retiring internationally. Amazing friend of the show. We love Danny, complete legend. And what an amazing international career and spanning. So long.
Yeah, we've spoken about it, haven't we? The fact that he went
Lads.
For such a long time without getting a cap for England, and then we sort of, made him, basically got him back in there.
Got into text and call, yeah.
Yeah, 101 caps for England. It's not bad going. That is a lot of cash.
Stop getting cash, but how good that 100th, like your 50th in France for the win, the 100th, beating like an unbeatable island. I just, in my mind, I'm like, that is the best feeling ever.
He's beaten everyone, hasn't he? Every country he's played, he's had a dub over. That's a hell of an achievement as well. But also, lads, lovely little anecdote of my experience of Danny Kerr. In my younger days, academy days, Monday night Guildford, Danny Kerr, hot shit at the time. Like early mid 20s, one of the first pro rugby players to ever buy me a beverage at casinos at Guildford.
Casinos. One of my,
yeah, do you remember that? yeah. That was a stomping ground for a while.
Oh, I've been thrown down the back stairs in there quite a few times by the bouncers. That is not where you want to be out the back there.
Oh, yeah.
Windmilling out the back.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Casinos. Well, that
yeah,
is a
blast from the past, isn't it? Yeah, that'll make you feel old. Do your bones feel weary now, Ryan?
Is that because you're Irish, so you just jump on the train?
Yeah. So Monday night would be like after a long weekend, maybe a little Monday night A-League. Remember A-League, Ryan? Yeah. Do you remember that? Great times. Yeah. But find our way in there.
Have you got a Danny Kerr one, Ryan?
The only thing was after that Calcutta Cup win, Hugo Monnier asked me to go on the podcast they did for, I think it was BBC or something, but they hadn't told him I was coming on. So he was like basically slagging us all off. And then I came on to the podcast and was like, they were like, oh, we've got a special guest. And Danny's like, oh, who is it? And then it's me going, all right, boys. And then it's Ryan Wilson. He's like, oh, for fuck. And I was just going, like winding him up. And he got really upset. He got quite upset, actually. And it blew up. But no, that's it. We've had him on. He's a good boy. And the story from him smashing the fish tank in
Infernos.
One of the best ever. I think that's probably highlighted in his career, isn't it? Smashing the fish tank in Infernos.
That's a big deal. That is a big deal. Infernos smashing a
fish tank. Cats for England. What? I smashed the fish
tank. That's literally tombstone stuff. That is. Infernos. all over it. Right, let's move on to URC. State of play pretty tight in a way. Just 9 points between fourth and 11th. 5 points between fifth and 11th. I mean, it's super close for the top eight spots. Wilson, are you feeling like it's hotting up the run-in, the business end?
It is, because it, like you said, it's similar. I suppose it's similar to the Prem, isn't it? And there's six rounds left in the URC, and yeah, there's some games to be played. Benetton.
Yeah, how's the, explain that to me, Ryan. Explain how this works. I can't. How do they drop that far down?
That's what I mean. That's what makes it so interesting. It's crazy. They were second. Two rounds ago, maybe they were second in the league. They find themselves 10th and only 3 points off of 11th, down by Ospreys. It's like, how quickly can things turn around? But I'm not sure what happened. I suppose you give credit to Scarlets. I didn't watch the game, but give credit to Scarlets for finding a way to beat Benetton after we've been talking about the Italian team doing so well. I'm guessing not all of their players were back at the weekend, but yeah, there's still a way for them to find their way back, because like we said, from 10th in the league at 33 points, they're only 2 points off of fifth, which is mental. So they can go from 10th to fifth with a good win. That is how close it is for the top eight. The top four, Munster sort of run away with it, but Leinster play Bulls this weekend, so a good opportunity for Glasgow to jump up.
But Bulls are probably through.
Remember, it's top eight
So they definitely.
As long as you make top eight, but everyone talks about a home quarter. That's the big thing. So Leinster and Bulls are looking at home quarters. Glasgow have got an all right run in. And I suppose it's a fight for the fourth place between, well, Munster, Stormers, Edinburgh. But again, it's so close. There's so many teams that could make it into the fourth spot. And by all the stats that go with the URC, you need a home quarter, because you basically win your own quarters, especially when people are having to travel to Bulls to go and suck through straws up there in Pretoria. So yeah, it's getting tight, but there was a few upsets at the weekend. Sharks finally got a win. I was doing the punditry stuff on that, with Ulster going down the Sharks, and then they switch over. Edinburgh went down the Stormers and got trounced by the Stormers down there in Cape Town. But I mean, 2 week holiday down there, 2 week holiday down Durban and Cape Town. God, I could do with that.
Yeah, it'll make the losses all the more. More bearable.
You like the sound of that, Max. You like the sound of the URC, don't you? I could see you in the URC.
I would love to go to the URC.
I could see you in the URC.
Anyone out there? There's a handy little... He's a little bit old. He's got a little way of ring rust.
No, stop saying that, because we're suddenly looking at the... Was it WP Nell versus something? We're looking...
Brock Harris. WP Nell versus Brock Harris. Is he 40 years 40? Old, Brock Harris?
Brock Harris, yeah, fair play.
400 games or something. Have I just overshot that? But he's talking up potentially re-signing with the Stormers at the moment.
Yeah, he's 39. WP Nell is
37. By the way, just announced his retirement, WP Nell. So he's going to retire at the end of the season. He's had a wonderful career, the big man. But yeah, so Max, how old are you?
34.
Mate!
You've got 5 years left in you.
You're not a 30. Look at your maiden and a laboratory body. You're fucking fine.
Look at the nick of those boys, and then look at you. So you've got 5 years to just get fat and be one of those props that's just sort of just grinds his way in.
Imagine 5 more years, Mike.
Put a gut on you, and you've got another 5 years, mate. Easy. URC, watch it. Imagine Max in the URC. I'd love it. Commentating on Max's games.
I would love that. And I would let you say whatever you liked about me, and I wouldn't take it personally.
Stop it.
So naughty.
Mate, URC, best league in the world. I've told you.
Yeah. DuPont versus Bordeaux. That was funny. He did some weird stuff. He did some DuPont things.
He's genuinely, like, I know, and it irks people, right, that you put them in that category of, you know, is he one of the best and all of that, because every country believes they've got their own version of that. But he surely, from a Scottish man and an Englishman, he is simply the outstanding rugby player on the planet, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. He's after watching that as well, I was like, yep, Yep, he just confirms it again and again and again.
Even his seven stats, he's like, do you know what I mean? And you're just, and it's not easy to just come in and try something new. And it is a different style of rugby, and it isn't, you know, just, you've seen quite a lot of players try and do it. But yeah, what a complete and utter legend. Right, let's move on to, okay, first things first, there are a lot of transfer rumours running around at the moment. I mean, seriously, we've got a lot of people heading off to different pastures. You know, we've mentioned these before. You've got Manu Tuilagi going off to Bayern, his spot being replaced by your pal, Michael Eviu. I've just butchered his name. Go on, give it.
No,
who also looks amazing. Potentially Christian Wade, yeah, or I think that might even have been
he's
on.
Confirmed, yeah, Gloucester.
Yeah, confirmed.
Gloucester have made a few signings, haven't they? I mean, obviously the chat of Hasto going from Gloucester to Glasgow, but they've signed Gareth Anscombe, am I right?
Yes, this is true.
And they've signed
Thomas Williams, right?
Thomas Williams, yeah, signed as well.
That's a very good signing as well.
He is a great player. Combo. So, yeah, they're doing a bit. Christian Wade in there. If they can keep hold of Zach Mercer, like we said, because England are going to pretend to give him a cat, then they've done all right. Basically what you said.
Boys, just over that sort of period, right? And Ryan, obviously you did it with the same club for all those years, and Max, you've done it for different clubs. When you hear that a player is being signed in your position, where does that send you? Does that send you A, straight to your agent, B, straight to the coach, C, straight to the boss of the whole franchise, or do you just like go really hard in pre-season and over the summer because you're worried that somebody else is coming in to take your job?
Are you still contracted that year?
You're still contracted, let's say. You're still contracted. Or the conversations are happening.
For me, it was always different because back row, 6, 7, 8, I could play all of them. And I'd even pretend I could lend my hand at second row. So it was always plenty of space in that back row. Max, it's a very different story because it's a niche position.
I was straight. When's that happened to me? Will Stewart at Bath, that was probably the one. So I was just like, okay, time to have a look.
So you went straight to agent rather than I shall reinforce my position.
No, because I knew I was having like a bad season that year. I wasn't getting on so well with the coaches, so I could see the writing was on the wall. It didn't take some kind of clairvoyant to figure that one out. So I just I got looking early.
Yeah,
just the way.
Another one. Tigers are making some moves with our mate Izzy Perese coming over there. Tried to get him on, but didn't reply. So that's a bit of a shame.
Oh, I thought we were chums after hanging out in Cardiff.
Well, I did the barbells with him, didn't I? He's a good bloke. He's loose. So we'll get him on. Tars to Tigers. And then Nicky Smith from the Ospreys. He is underrated, by the way.
Oh, mate, very, very good loose head. Very
good. Should be weird shape as well, Max, isn't he?
What's that?
He's just a weird shape.
He is.
Do what he does.
I wouldn't say he's like in bad shape, though. He's just unique.
I wouldn't be surprised if I saw him on the darts scene.
Do you reckon?
No way.
Nah, he's. I was looking
with his head guard on as well.
Yeah, mate. Strong in some weird positions. Call him the King Prawn. He was scrummed against him when the Ospreys came down for a little training session a couple of weeks back. Man's useful, very useful.
But he's not, and he's not a huge man either.
No, he's not. He's not a huge man, but he's just hard. He's messy. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a few moves going on there as well. But this is it, Welsh rugby. They've got to get rid of that rule. They have to. With these players leaving, they've got to start looking at ways to grow. Who else we got on the list? Montpellier seem to be doing a bit. Billy Vunipola and Mako Vunipola potentially going to Montpellier. Is that true? Should we say it's true? Should we spread the rumour even more? I think it is true.
Yeah, no, I did hear that. Actually, I've also heard that Billy. I know I've definitely heard Billy V's going to Montpellier, which puts Sam Simmons somewhat. I don't know where that puts him, but
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's an interesting one.
And there's a little bit of rumours whilst we're on Montpellier, Severis going from the Crusaders there. And Crusaders are not having a good start, are they?
No, I've never seen the Crusaders where they are. That is mental. How long's it been? Must be some kind of record. Yeah. Have they ever been that low before? I don't think they have.
You lose Razor, and that's what happens.
I know, King Midas, the King Midas of coaching. What's the All Blacks?
Doesn't that scare you, though, about the All Blacks, though? Like, the quote, worst All Blacks of all time, basically being like, could have won the final, right? I know they didn't.
With
14 men, but obviously South Africa, a good win. But you're like, and then they add Razor. You're like, oh, no, please don't do that.
Here they come.
Yeah, that is filthy. That is filthy. So, so there you are. I reckon that's about it with our transfer news, is it? We'll make a couple more up just for a laugh.
Yeah, what's Hasto said to you?
Hasto hasn't said much to me. They asked me live on air the other night. They actually, do you know what? On Friday night, they were like, oh, so, you know, chat of, because they were talking about the 10 position and Tom Jordan moving to 12 and playing a bit more at 12. And they're like, you know, is that because potentially could have a 10 come back in the likes of Adam Hastings? And I was like, I can confirm to you that the rumours are true. The rumours are flying around. And they were like, ah. And then after the game, they asked Carl Steyn and he said something like, yeah, we're looking forward to getting him back. So I don't know. Still don't know. Whether he knows more than me, we'll find out.
Oh, just a final one. Our friend Ollie Lawrence, is he heading to, is there some movement, traction, heading to London? Do we hear? Do we know?
Nah, it's a Quins. I don't think so. I think he'll be playing there. That's that for me at the moment.
They're announcing a lot of their sort of main players, like the core of that squad's being announced, and he's not one of them just yet.
So that'll be a big lot. Because that 9, 10, 12, 13 for me is the best in the Premiership. I think Cisco is staying put.
Yeah, mate. How good does his new lid look?
Let me see the Oh, by the way, to the white van driver that keeps messaging me on Instagram, if you are listening, I did ask him for tickets for you at the weekend and he came back with nothing. So we'll get there. Don't worry. Lewis Rees-Sammit in other news. Is he signing for the Chiefs? Is that true?
I mean, come on, Max. What's going on? There are teams interested. He looked fast on the equivalent of the IPP combine.
Well, apparently there's some interest there. Obviously, going to the Chiefs, with a sort of, if he's going as a wide receiver, they've got sort of a light depth chart there. Obviously, the team sort of centers around Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. Would that be the best place for him? Maybe you having the best player in the league, but ultimately we can't be too unrealistic here. He's looking at sort of a practice squad spot, and then we'll see how he gets on.
Max, there is the, and I'm just chucking in some spice for no real reason, but the fact that he just signed for Roc Nation, obviously they've got a big kind of NFL musical partnership, and you look at the type of people that Roc Nation represent, like he's a big deal here because of rugby, but globally, right, where does he sit? But Roc Nation coming in, would you not be surprised they have a little bit of an inkling of where things are going? And you know, I'm just rumour mongering here. But
you think they've got like some NFL whisperer within the ranks who sort of makes the deal?
Wouldn't you think with the type of people that they have?
Yeah, no, the NFL's a money first organisation. It's not about the sport, so it would not surprise me if they could like get some more sort of attraction off the back of this, get some more clicks, make something more of it. For sure.
Also, you know, he's a pin-up boy. He's single now, ready for the mingle.
Is he single? Has he got rid of the missus?
I thought there was some controversy on social media around that.
Are we turning into the fucking...
Apparently...
What are we doing?
What have you done, Mark? Mark, you made us special. We're not TMZ, man. We're not TM fucking Z. That's what they call it over the pond.
Go on, Mark. Give us a film.
He said that she said that he did this out there. Hey?
That's amazing. We should actually do that. We should go and find like really shit stories in rugby about like we should be like the Love Island.
The world is at his feet, and it seems the riches have seduced the man. Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, I thought it was all part of the plan. I'm really,
No, man, more clicks, baby.
Crikey. I'm going to have to jump onto the YouTube channel and find out what's happened.
Yeah, but we are. The thing is, I don't think there's a person who watches rugby who isn't like wishing him to do really well in the NFL. Like, everybody, he's got the backing. It's like one of those weird things where even like you've got Gloucester fans and Wales fans going, like, I really want to see him succeed. And that's an amazing place to be. Sky's the limit.
I think I think it helps that because he was sort of approaching the sort of apex of his rugby career.
He did it at the right time.
So that was.
I saw someone the other day commenting on that speed thing, right? He clocked 4.43 40 yard dash, and he was hoping for quicker. But someone was like, "Oh, I'm really disappointed. Not a laser, like a laser timer in sight." But someone's not doing that with a fucking stopwatch, are they? There must be.
That's actually a really good point. When I watched that, you're right. You do not.
They said it's unofficial, but it was unofficial, and he
so it's hand timed. Yeah,
hand timed.
Hold on. One of the biggest sports in the world, and this combine, and they're doing it by someone going.
But it wasn't an official combine. It's not the NFL combine.
It's like a little peep show type thing, you know.
These guys have been in the league for like eons. They just need to see what they need to see to be like, that's all right. I'm happy with that kind of speed.
Thank God for that. Because
they would have seen him and been like, he's a big goose. He can move fast enough. Happy with that. Do you know what I mean? It's more like that.
I know, but equally, you think they, I mean, every club, like Glasgow have it, I'm guessing Bristol have it. We have the laser timers for.
Yeah, we do have those, agreed. Why don't they have that? They could have just set it up. They could have just done that.
You know?
You're right. The NFL.
You know, like when they do the Bronco test off the video, Max? So they go, we're actually going to go back and look at the video and tell you your times. They do that at Glasgow. So no, you were like,
you guys, Glasgow's weird, man. You guys
thought you'd run a 4:45 or something, and then they go back and look at the thing, and they're like, actually, it's a 5 minute, and everyone's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
They go, well, we went off the actual time on the video, and
they just have an S&C there watching a few guys, because there's always going to be separation, and there's a huge clock on the screen inside the barn.
I also think there's always a chance that someone might try and skip a little 20 meters like somewhere and then like tactically.
Yeah, when you're delirious with fatigue, you're like, oh, 1, 2, 3, oh, missed that lad 20:40 on the thought. Back to the 5. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so that's why they need it. I can't get like us doing, mate, we should do Mark doing a Zara haul or something. Just that TMZ thing's got me thinking. Mark doing, hi guys, so this is my Zara haul, and we could just get Mark trying on different clothes.
Why?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, different dresses.
Yeah, I guess there's no judging in brainstorming, but that's not happening.
And like,
so.
The try on hauls, no females ever watching them.
Yeah. We actually came up with a wildly unpopular show. So good.
I'm all for it. Yeah, let's sign off with saying a big thank you to our sponsors that are Wolf Craig Distillers. They've been with us all the way. Continue to support us. You can head over to the website, Max. That is
wolfcraig.com.
Head over there, find out where you can grab yourself a beautiful whiskey or a lovely gin. Some of the little tasters. They've got some good clobber now. I'm going to actually push it a little bit, boys, and try and get Max with his gilet and his hat and his bobble hat, and I think they should start doing more branded clothing. So
it's a cool. I actually love the logo. Like genuinely, it looks pretty badass. So
I was out golfing the other day and I wore it. And someone said,
"All right, golf wanker, keep talking about your golf, mate." Okay. I was golfing and look at my clubs. My clubs are behind me.
Do you boys play golf? Either of you play golf?
No, fuck no. Do you want me to look like a Jeremy Hatch?
Like it. I'm not particularly good at it, but
Mark definitely plays golf. I like it.
Okay, this is a beautiful. I mean, I know you play chess, Mark, but this is a beautiful opportunity for us three We should play around in golf for a laugh. That's and film it. It would be so good. Right, we're doing that. But listen, whilst we're on
really,
it,
8 holes though. I can't do 18. I can't walk that long.
Did you just say 8 holes or 9?
9, whatever it is.
Don't do the final one. We lost Max at the eighth. Yeah. Can't do the ninth.
Don't do the ninth.
But yeah, a big thank you. We digress again, but to Wolf Craig Distillers, head over to wolfcraig.com to see what they've got on offer.
Yeah, and thank you all for listening and watching, and to Ryan and Max as always, and we will see you all next week.
More or nothing.